Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing pregnancy loss, with new research showing that exercise is vital for people who have experienced pregnancy loss in improving their physical well-being and their mental health. We'll also have some tips for clinicians who may be wondering how they can ensure a person who has lost a pregnancy is exercising. My special guests worked on the research and join me now. Dr. Tegan Hartman is a senior lecturer in exercise science at Charles Sturt University. And Dr. Danielle Girard is an accredited exercise physiologist with Exercise and Sports Science Australia and a lecturer in clinical exercise physiology at the University of South Australia. Dr. Hartman and Dr. Girard, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here.
It's lovely to be here, Sam. Thanks for having us.
Before we dive into your research, can you both please give me an idea about your background and your professional interest in this topic? Dr. Hartman, I'll start with you.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm a senior lecturer in exercise science at Charles Sturt University. I'm based on the Bathurst campus. And I guess you'd say I've had quite a diverse research profile to date. My previous work has focused on the immune and inflammatory response to exercise in various conditions such as mental health disorders, those who are chronic tobacco smokers, people with inflammatory bowel disease, and shift workers. But more recently, and through my collaborations with Dr. Girard, we're starting to explore topics in women's health. So we're currently doing a little bit of research in endometriosis and exercise, and as you mentioned more recently, pregnancy loss and exercise.
And Dr. Girard?
Like Tegan, my research has been quite broad. So my honours and PhD research were in the area of oncology. And specifically, I looked at some of the muscular strength and compositional changes that were associated with hormonal therapies and also the utility of exercise for managing side effects such as fatigue. Since then, I've done a bit more work in the oncology exercise area. I've done some work looking at the benefits of different types of yoga-based exercise, particularly for those with depression, risk reductions associated with physical activity for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease. And now with Tegan, exploring more in that women's health space and looking at endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and also those with pregnancy loss.
And Dr. Hartman, can you talk me through how common is pregnancy loss in Australia?
So pregnancy loss affects around one in every four women. And unfortunately, it's often referred to as a silent trauma. While we're seeing a lot more conversation in this area around pregnancy loss in recent times, it's generally not something women openly discuss, particularly in terms of their physical and mental well-being. While we are seeing those conversations, it still is affecting one in every four. And that's, I guess, where we sort of started to explore this area. So building upon what Danny said, both Danny and I have a particular interest in this topic because we both have lived experience with pregnancy loss. And as academics in the field of exercise physiology, it was natural for us to look to the literature to guide what we essentially want to see in the exercise space and look to how exercise may be beneficial for women following that time after a loss.
And we know that pregnancy loss can have significant physiological consequences and trigger or worsen anxiety and depression. Dr. Girard, I'll go to you.
Yeah, that's right. So unfortunately, we do see a significant number of women experiencing anxiety and or depression following a pregnancy loss. And in fact, those women are around four times higher to be diagnosed with depression. And around about 33% of those women will also report having experienced thoughts of self-harm. Now, about 28% with anxiety or depression symptoms will also meet the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. And unfortunately, these symptoms can persist for periods of time for 3, even up to 12 months following a loss. And these women also frequently report feeling detachment from their physical body, as well as feelings of abandonment, dissatisfaction with their follow-up care that they're provided. We also know that there are very limited strategies and interventions that are readily available to support women, both with their physical and mental well-being during this period of time.
And Dr. Hartman, what would you like to add?
To build upon what Denny has mentioned, we know that there are organisations such as the Pink Elephant Support Network that are working quite tirelessly to support women in this space. And we have established this relationship with them recently to increase awareness and the potential for those support strategies for women following a loss.
And let's look at your research, which you've written about in Insight Plus. Dr. Hartman, can you talk me through what you did and what you found?
So we have recently conducted a scoping review to determine what literature is out there on the topic of exercise to promote physical and mental health following pregnancy loss. Now, what we did was actually search a number of databases with specific keywords and terms to capture the extent of literature in this space. Now, our initial search yielded just over 1,700 studies that were potentially eligible. However, what's quite surprising, Sam, is that only two papers partially met the criteria for inclusion in this work. I'll throw to Denny and she can tell you a little bit about those, one of those publications in particular.
Yeah, so as Tegan mentioned, only two partially met what our inclusion criteria was. And in one of those publications by Rosso and colleagues in 2018, they investigated exercise as a management strategy following a loss. However, they actually didn't report on any psychological outcomes. Rather, they tracked physical activity engagement and fecundability. We did feel compelled to include this article in our review as really, our intentions of this research was to scope out the literature, and the outcomes of this study did provide us with some foundational understanding. So this particular study included a little over 1,200 healthy women who had a history of pregnancy loss. These women were tracked across a preceding six-month period in which physical activity data was collected using the International Physical Activity Questionnaire, the short form, and also fecundability and ovulatory cycles were tracked via urinary hormone concentrations. The authors reported that there was a positive association between fecundability and performing, in particular, vigorous intense exercise that was of greater than 4 hours per week compared to those not undertaking any vigorous exercise. And they also found that when they adjusted for BMI, that walking for a total of 3 hours per week for greater durations than 10 minutes at a time were associated with higher fecundability in women who were classified as overweight or obese.
The second study that partially met our criteria was conducted by Delvin and colleagues. So they looked at women who had experienced a loss and they actually rated their attitudes towards exercise and their perceived support from others to exercise and intentions to engage in exercise during then subsequent pregnancies. Now, what these authors actually reported was that for women with a history of pregnancy loss, we know that they had clinical levels of depression and anxiety, but they actually also then reported lower attitudes and perceived control for engaging in exercise during early to mid-pregnancy. Now, these results from our scoping review indicated quite an alarming lack of research, specifically concerning exercise as a tool to prevent and manage psychological conditions associated with pregnancy loss. However, as academics in this area of exercise physiology, we know that in other conditions, exercise is a really, really powerful management tool.
Yes, and let's zoom in on exercise. We know that exercise has mood-regulating effects, but it may also have some protective effects, Dr. Gerard.
Yes, that's correct. So we do know more broadly that engaging in exercise on a regular basis can support a person's emotional regulation following a stressful event. And in fact, even single bouts of moderate intensity exercise can positively improve mood states. Now, the type of exercise that can be performed can be anything from walking to cycling to active forms of yoga. And in terms of duration to achieve these types of benefits, there is evidence to suggest that even as little as 15 minutes of exercise can help regulate emotions following a stressful event.
And for those women who may find moderate intensity exercise a little bit intimidating at a time that they feel quite vulnerable, there's literature to support that in depression and anxiety, lower intensity forms of yoga and stretching can significantly result in improvement in mood states. So this tells us that if women feel comfortable to do so and engage in some form of exercise, they will likely see a benefit to their well-being.
And in some positive news, exercise can have favourable outcomes on a possible future pregnancy for women who have suffered pregnancy loss. Dr. Hartman, can you unpack that for us?
Yes, that's right. So when we're talking about exercise, I'll just define it for you and for the listeners. This is planned and structured repetitive body movements that are then undertaken to improve one or more components of physical fitness. Physical activity, on the other hand, refers to any form of physical movement, regardless of the intention. Now, we know that exercise may produce favorable outcomes on fertility. Specifically, moderate intensity exercise has been associated with improved fertility for all women. And for women who are classified as obese or overweight, vigorous intensity exercise has been associated with improved fertility. In fact, a recent meta-analysis published only in 2022 highlighted there was this inverse relationship between exercise and infertility. Now, you may be wondering, how do we actually differentiate between those intensities of exercise? Well, we can use what we call a torque test to measure exercise intensity. So as a general rule of thumb, if we can talk and sing without puffing at all, you're engaging in low intensity exercise. If you can then talk but not sing, this is generally moderate intensity exercise. Now, if you can't say more than a few words because you're huffing and puffing, this is then classified as vigorous or high intensity exercise. So that's a little bit of a guide in terms of the different levels of exercise intensity that one may do.
And clinicians listening to this podcast may be wondering how they can ensure women who have lost a pregnancy are exercising. Dr. Gerard, that's where an accredited exercise physiologist can step in.
Yeah, absolutely. So accredited exercise physiologists are exercise specialists who have completed a minimum of 4 years university training, and their training has equipped them with knowledge and clinical skills to enable them to provide a tailored exercise program that considers not only the individual's medical history, their exercise history, any of those complications that might have been associated with their pregnancy, even the trauma associated with experiencing a loss, and any of the other really important psychosocial considerations that may need to be considered. So the exercise physiologists will be able to support women in either taking steps towards commencing regular exercise or in returning to maybe what their previous exercise levels were. And ideally, they will assist those women in working towards meeting the recommended physical activity guidelines. And you can find accredited exercise physiologists that service your local area by looking at an online directory that has been provided by Exercise and Sports Science Australia. And they're the regulating body for exercise scientists and exercise physiologists in Australia. And this really useful online directory can be found at www.essa.org.au/find-aep.
And Dr. Hartman, is there anything you'd like to add?
I guess one of the main things and the message that we like to articulate as exercise professionals is that something is always better than nothing. If you can get moving, even if that is just 5 minutes a day, something is always going to produce a greater benefit than nothing. And I think that's a really important message because women, as Denny and I both know, who are going through quite a traumatic time, may find that they're only able to walk outside for 5 minutes, but they should feel comfort knowing that that will still cause benefit for them.
And I think maybe in addition to that, exercise is very, very broad. It doesn't have to be what maybe people think about and going to a gym and exercising in front of other people. Like, there really are very simple things that people can be doing just in their day-to-day life that are really going to have those positive improvements on not only supporting their mental health, but also maybe helping them in terms of future pregnancies and their mental health along with those pregnancies.
Dr. Hartman and Dr. Gerard, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thanks for having us, Sam.
My special guests have been Dr. Tegan Hartman and Dr. Danielle Girard. Dr. Hartman is a senior lecturer in exercise science at Charles Sturt University. Dr. Girard is an accredited exercise physiologist with Exercise and Sports Science Australia and a lecturer in clinical exercise physiology at the University of South Australia. You can read their research by clicking the link to the Insight Plus article in the description of this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.